This week on Two Noobs, maybe there is hope after all as San Francisco voters decide they've had enough of people puping all over their city. Next, the NFL's plan to expand football to the icy plains of Europa hits a snag as some people who suffered through the brutal Chiefs-Dolphins-Andy Reid booger game may be losing limbs, literally. Then, two football goodbyes as Jason Kelce retires and Chris Mortensen passes. We will comment on both of them. And finally, John has questions. If one of them is where do babies come from, I'm out. Start the music. Yes, we welcome you to episode 180 of Two Noobs Talking. It is confirmed we have two incompetent boobs, all but confirmed as running for president. Thanks a lot, America.
Yay. Oh, gosh.
I guess I don't even need to show up for primary day now, huh?
I guess not.
No. No reason.
Yeah.
No.
Seriously.
At least in Pennsylvania, if you showed up, you would only be showing up with either Republicans or Democrats instead of this weird mix mash that we watch on Super Tuesday that pretty much anybody can vote in any election, apparently.
Yeah.
They got to tighten those rules up a little bit. I mean,
put it also this way. At least we weren't in Washington, D.C. on Thursday night. I know I had a lot of things that I was doing that was far more entertaining and far better than watching that lunatic.
Nobody yelled at you for an hour and a half?
Nope.
I didn't see it. And afterwards, I was like, you know what? I said to my wife, I was like, you know what? I totally missed that because I was talking to the guys. Do you do me a favor? Could you just yell at me for a straight hour just so I could get that feel of...
Yeah.
And apparently the Republican response was some lady in her kitchen ASMRing her rebuttal to the State of the Union. Yes. So apparently, I'm glad I missed both of those things.
Apparently the wife of a former New England Patriot, so I expect nothing less.
Yikes.
Bless your heart, man. That's what that's all about, I guess, but oh boy.
Yeah. This is gonna suck the next 6 months or so. Yeah.
They're all banking on these people.
8 months. 8 months. I just did the math. It's 8 months. Yep.
Just avoid it.
Think of it this way. It's less than 240 days. So let's take it day by day.
That's not
bad. It'll seem like it'll go faster.
That might be it.
No, I don't like that. All right. So this guy sitting over here, this is Jump Ball John Tracy over here. On whatever side this is, that's mid-level exception, Matt Craig. I guess I'm inbounding Illinois Smith this week.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
You're 2024 independent presidential candidate. So if you don't like the two boobs
who are running for office,
please vote for me because, you know, I'm of a decent age. I'm sane. I have all my marbles.
I have one question, though. If you call a timeout in a NBA basketball game and then your play is that you inbound the ball and it gets thrown out of bounds, what do you do?
Let's ask Doc Rivers that question.
Okay, yes. I'll just ask it. Middle of cue. Just ask it. I'm just trying to see if you're on point.
I'd like to know why throwing a ball at a dude's head while he's laying on the ground constitutes your possession and not a foul. But, you know, that's just me.
Just so you guys also know, did you guys know that Ben Simmons is out for the year for the New Jersey Nets?
His butt hurt again?
It's not the New Jersey Nets, the Brooklyn Nets. But, yeah, his back's hurt again.
Ask me if I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not.
That's the greatest trade in the history of everything because we still got rid of James Harden in the end of it. So we don't have to deal with either of them.
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's
his back will be fine as he's sitting playing Fortnite or whatever the kids play these days.
Yes.
On his comfortable, I'm sure he's got one of those really comfortable gamer chairs.
And alive. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's enough dull griping. Let's get to the happy griping. We got the W Energy Fun Fact. Visit Dubby Energy Drinks at dubby.gg or download the app and then use the promo code 2NoobsTalking, T-O-O-N-O-O, that's BS, talking, get 10% off your order. Hey, I'm going to keep plugging caffeine-free stuff for another week until Max admits he has a problem.
Yes.
That's step number one.
I love coffee. Come on, stop it.
Well, listen, step number one for you is to grab a tub of Pineberry Splash Hydro Hydration, a strawberry pineapple blend, providing the right amount of electrolytes without compromising taste. With our promo code, you get $350 off a $35 tub. Yes. All right, John, fun fact. Lay it on me, brother.
Hey, fun fact for this week is the Cookie Monster's real name is Sydney.
Really?
I'm sorry, what?
Sydney.
The Cookie Monster's real name is Sydney. Back in 2017, they did a thing where he reminisced about his former name, and he kept on saying Sid, and then they revealed that his government name is Sydney.
Oh, be darned. Wow.
I didn't know. I always called him Cookie.
No
idea.
Actually, I thought when we were younger, we were supposed to call him, the elder by Mr. Monster. That's what
Mr.
I was.
Mr. Monster. Yeah, right? There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever read that book? I guess it was Elmo. There's a monster on the next page or whatever it is.
Oh, no.
No.
Elmo, or no, it was a Grover. It was Grover.
Might have been Grover, maybe?
Yeah, okay. It was Grover. He's like, oh, there's a monster on the next page. Don't turn. And you keep turning. It's like, oh, no. And then at the end, it turns out he's the monster. He's like, oh, I'm such an idiot.
Oh, jeez.
It's a good book.
That's
Grover's a good
book. Such an underrated Muppet. Underrated Muppet.
Yeah, comedic, I heard myself.
Yeah, his comedy is some of the best.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Grover was good. Yeah. I don't qualify them as Muppets, though, because they weren't officially in the Muppet group.
And universe? Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it wasn't like Kermit and Miss Piggy and all those guys.
They weren't in that MCU.
They were Muppets.
Got it.
Right, exactly. But now you've got me curious. Are there any other Sesame Street characters, acting under pseudonyms, or was Cookie Monster the only one?
Well, I think Big Bird has to be one, right? I mean,
right?
Crying out loud, really?
He has to have another name, yeah.
Yeah, there's probably like Daniel or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. They all have to have names because, they were created and then pushed off. Well, he's a Cookie Monster. That's not his name. He's just a Cookie Monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel bad for Oscar now because I guess he kept to keep his real name, but they just tacked on the Grouch. That's rather harsh.
Well, especially living in the garbage can. Yeah.
Stop treating your neighbors like shit and then stop calling you bad names.
I remember seeing a thing that said a couple years ago that Sesame Street had introduced their first homeless character.
Yeah.
And I was like,
wait.
No.
Right?
No.
I'm pretty sure Oscar's been living on the street for years.
Exactly.
Decades.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of excruciating, nonsense, I guess the over 40 falls on me this week.
Yes, it does,
as
sir.
We discussed.
Yep.
Grocery store shoppers. What the hell?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yes.
So my wife was away for 2 weeks, and so the weekly grocery shopping fell upon me.
Okay.
Which I did. And last week on Sunday, I went around 8:30 in the morning thinking it would be rather light.
Good time.
Which it was. There were not too many people there.
There you go.
However, apparently the idiots are out at all hours of the day, because as I was trying to leave, there was a gentleman whose cart was parked right in the middle of the exit lane.
No.
Askew, while he was discussing his receipt with one or more of managerial types or cashiers or whatever it was.
No.
And the cart was placed in such a manner that I could not squeak by. And rather than deal with the crap, I just turned around and went out the other door, even though it ended up being
further away.
Further away from my car.
Yeah.
So then I go and I fill my car with the groceries. I go to return the cart. They have nice little individual markings. They have the mini carts and the large carts separated.
Yep.
So people parking the mini carts in the large cart one. I felt so bad for the cart, the person who comes around and collects the carts to bring them back, because now he's got to do all kinds of mixing and matching. Why do people have to be such a-holes?
I don't know.
And ignoramuses.
I've come to the conclusion that nobody can read. So that's fair. Why that happens with the carts. Like, I don't think they understand signs. I think nobody watched Sesame Street. Nobody knows how to count. Nobody knows how to read. That's the. And I also think that people on the internet ruined people, and they told them to get up earlier. So the idiots now get up earlier. So I say we go later now, just to avoid them, because nobody's saying go out at 9 o'clock at night. If the internet starts saying go 9 o'clock at night, go out at 9 o'clock in the morning. If the internet goes, get up at 5 a.m., sleep later, because that's they're following the succubus of this world is following what they're saying. And I think they're interfering with us at this point.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I just don't understand why people don't do, you can't read, obviously, but the common courtesy of, you know, staying to the side. If you need to have a conversation with the cashier, move your car to the side, please, so people can move and go.
Nope.
Don't just park your ass right in the middle. And
you charged me 13 cents more for a tomato, and I'm going to upset the world.
Yeah.
instead of just going to customer service and leaving your cart in a place.
Was this an elderly gentleman that did this?
I was too fuming with, like, what the fuck is this cart doing here to even bother to gather his characteristics.
Yes.
So I just kind of turned around and walked out.
The rage was in you.
But I mean, John, you do shopping. Matt, you do shopping. You use carts.
Yep. Yes.
I mean, when you're going down the aisle, you pull to the side when you have to survey the shelves, right? I mean, you don't just stop in the middle and I'm blocking you.
I have an obsession with hot sauces. Either it be the Mexican variety or the Chinese variety on different sides of the aisle. I make sure that my cart is parked not to bother anybody, because I might be there for a couple minutes and I don't want to, but I always run into, I'm trying to grab spaghetti and I've got seven carts that are like making a circle and I can't get to, like, can I just,
and they're all over at the tasty
case. Can I just get, like, I just need that. Like, I'm just here for this. I just, like, no. They don't care. Nobody cares.
And God help you if you want to go to the deli counter.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably the hardest part.
Number two, just to make fun of the supermarkets, the way you design these things, you're making us do these things. Like, it makes no sense. My local shopping place that I did just made a brilliant change, because there's been a logjam at the tomatoes and jalapenos for 4 years. They finally put an aisle in between it so that multiple people can grab tomatoes and jalapenos. And it's like, I had to stop and I bowed. Like, great job. Who, smart ass manager, came in and realized that this has been a problem for 4 years.
Love it.
It's been a problem for 4 years.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, go ahead. I know you had a rant coming.
Well, yeah, I would say it probably, the Wegmans that I go to, gents, is it's more on aisle, I would say probably 14 or 15. So this is like the way it's laid out, it's kind of more left to right. So as I come in, it's from, like, you know, you get your deli and then you work your way down those aisles. It gets worse as you get closer to, like, either the dairy section or the condiment section. There are so many people in and around the condiment section. It's hilarious. It's like, you got to watch out for this. And, oh, I got to get this bacon stuff over here. And it's amazing. It's like, it just seems to all congregate in around there. But meanwhile, the middle of the store is virtually wide open, because that's all alcohol. It's the alcohol section. Hardly anybody goes in there unless you're going.
That's weird.
Like, isn't that weird? Yeah.
Yeah, I would have think they would be congregating around that, but it sounds like they're just drinking ketchup now.
Pretty much.
You should use that alcohol area to regroup. if you need to. Just go in there and make sure.
Everybody goes one at a time. You know, that kind of thing.
John, you were saying in pre-production that your wife does the list kind of in order of how you traverse store.
Because I have to, or I would be a mess.
Yeah. I so wish I would have done that for my two lists the 2 days I did the shopping, because my list was all over the place, and I would be like four aisles down by the time I'm like, shit, I was supposed to get the ketchup, but I have to go back and get that.
Drives me nuts when that happens.
Yeah. The worst is when you forget when you get back home. It's like you get all the, it's like, oh crap, I forgot this, you know, whatever, fill in the blank, whatever it might be. It's like, God damn it.
I don't live in that world. I don't live in that world. Everything is written down. Damn it.
God bless you. Sometimes I forget, Johnny.
I'm getting older. I'm getting older, so I
just
can't.
Like I've got the checklist, and I'm thinking like, okay, I got everything, and then I look down, I scroll down, and it's the one item that I need. That it's like, gosh darn it, you know, that kind of a deal. And it's just, it sucks. It's the salad dressing, for God's sake. Yeah, you know, that kind of a deal.
I think what I need to do is bring a pen so I can cross stuff off as I get it.
Yeah.
So I'm not like every 3 hours, I'm not going, okay, I've got this, and like all over the card. This. And then forgetting.
I need it to be there.
I don't know if anybody else does this, but I like to listen to historical things on YouTube. So when I go to the store, I throw my earbuds in and I watch like a History Channel thing while I'm shopping. So I don't hear any of their fucking conversation. I can't handle any of that. So I'm like in depth. What did George Washington do?
You're in zone.
Like I'm on zone. Like,
yeah. That's great.
I try to detach from society as much as I can. I work out in society all the time. So when I'm on my personal time, I will detach from you the best I can.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of detaching from society, topic one. John didn't even intend that. I just seized on the moment.
There you go.
See?
Yeah. San Francisco. This was interesting this past week. So Super Tuesday, I guess, is when this occurred. San Francisco residents apparently, gentlemen, have grown weary of rising crime, drugs, public defecation, and homelessness.
You don't say. Wow. Yeah.
Believe it or not, the San Francisco Chronicle declared progressivism is out for now. Last Wednesday, as voters make it clear, San Francisco can no longer be called a progressive city. This outcome represented a victory for Mayor London Breed, who campaigned for Proposition E and Proposition F as part of her effort to overhaul the city's image as a haven for lawlessness. She said Wednesday, the voters are, quote, sending a message that we are a city that offers help, but not a city where you can just come and do whatever you want on our streets.
Okay.
Maybe you shouldn't have gone that far in the first place.
Yeah.
Proposition E, for those wondering, had garnered 60% of the vote as of Wednesday, will allow police to deploy drones, surveillance cameras, and facial recognition technology without prior approval from citizen oversight panels.
I don't see a problem with that whatsoever.
I see a problem with citizen oversight panels.
Yes, I don't even understand why they have a citizen oversight panel.
Exactly.
Right. The measure also gives police more latitude in conducting chases and reduces paperwork on use of force reports. Proposition F, which had 63% of the vote, requires those applying for or receiving public assistance to undergo drug screening and enter into drug treatment if they are suspected of using illegal drugs. Those who refuse would be ineligible for cash payments and could be kicked out of public housing.
Okay. Okay.
Sounds legit to me so far.
Way to go, San Francisco. Matt, you live in a bastion of lawlessness. What do you say about this?
Yes, where a lot of white collar crime happens here in the King of Prussia area. You never know. The most affluent suburb of the state of Pennsylvania. Good on San Francisco. Long overdue, I guess. But. You know, it's like they shouldn't be patting themselves on the back. This is a city that, quite honestly, was going way off the rails really after 2020 happened. I mean, to be honest.
After? Well,
yeah, after. That's like kind of an understatement, I guess. But yeah, I mean, this has been going on in major cities, not just San Francisco, but major cities across the country. There's been an epidemic in crime. I'm all for it. I don't like the idea, though, of, you know, the police deploying drones. That's weird to me. Seeing that, it's kind of like you're in a surveillance state. But I guess when you have lawlessness happening on a fairly regular basis, you need to put the hammer down, which in and of itself is a good thing. You know, laws created to basically teach us right from wrong. That's what the law is designed to do. And, you know, quite honestly, you can't just say, oh, you know, the police suck. We can do whatever the hell we want. Now, if we do that, we go down a rabbit hole that we really don't want to go down, basically. And so, you know, good on the San Francisco voters to basically say, you know what, we're tired of this. We're scared shitless of going out at night. We're not, you know, it's like I've seen the videos, guys, on YouTube of women saying, like, I'm not going outside at night taking a walk in San Francisco. Are you kidding me? In the city? Absolutely not. It's like, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. So good on the city. They got a long way to go, though. They got a long way to go. I'm not exactly jumping up and down that a bunch of progressives have seen the light here and said, oh, this is a win for moderate Democrats. Really? I mean, last I checked, they're nowhere to be found within the party to begin with. So let's just pump the brakes on that. I just want to see the improvements happen, that kind of a deal.
I tend to think the voters have changed their minds because their local Walgreens and other stores that, you know, many of us take for granted have walked out because of the crime. Yeah. But John, what say you?
Well, just a quick story. I had a homeless guy tell me a couple weeks ago, well, he didn't tell me, he told the dude I was working with, that if we weren't watching our cones and flags, he would have stolen them. And I laughed at him. I laughed at him, and I was like, how far do you think you'd get? and he didn't want to talk to me anymore. Yeah.
What was he going to do with them?
It didn't matter. He didn't care. I work outside. I work at a gas station, so I see homelessness every day. And in 2020 to about late 2021, Austin was as bad as San Francisco is now.
Yeah,
they didn't give a shit about anything. They have changed their ways through vote, look kind of like this. So I have hope that San Francisco will turn rather quickly, because you can. Once you put these propositions in place where you give the cops an opportunity, they will take that opportunity, because they don't want you, me, or someone else who's either working or walking into a convenience store to be bothered by people.
Yeah.
Like, they will push them. They will push them away, and they will push them to places where either they will do what they're going to do, because half of them we can't save, and the other half they can push in the programs. And that's about, from what I learned from the Austin project that happened, was it's about 50-50. You're not saving everybody, and you just got to realize that. Like, you're just not saving everybody.
Yeah.
But if you can get a good number, a good 30% into drug treatment programs and into programs that can help them, you're doing something for society. I hope that's what they do. Austin did good. They still have a way to go. And they started with this. So I'm optimistic, because San Antonio is another city I work in, and they have all this, and there is no issues.
There you go.
You could walk right down the street in any, even in the bad parts of San Antonio, you could walk right down the street and there's nobody's bothered.
Sure. Sure.
Well, let's talk about these citizen oversight panels for a second. Because that struck me as I was reading it.
Yeah.
I knew Proposition E was to, you know, help the law enforcement do their job better. So apparently San Francisco was having these citizen oversight panels, had to give prior approval.
That's bullshit.
Before, what happened to getting a warrant from a judge?
Right.
Like,
that doesn't matter.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Well, they were San Francisco, or one of, I think it was San Francisco, one of the California cities, were one of the first ones to bring up, hey, we don't need police officers. We need social workers. Like,
good luck with
that. What the hell is that gonna do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, does stealing that make you feel better?
I guess.
Exactly. If that, okay. So if that social worker is studied Taekwondo for 10 years, that's the only way I would want that social worker to be in that situation.
I was just going to say, you know, that's bad, right?
Trust me, right. I've seen it all. I've seen the cracked out guy. I've seen the drunk guy. I've seen I've seen someone at one gas station. Literally, every time someone walked up, he was like, "Go fuck yourself!" And he's just screaming at people. And then the cops. This was back in 2020. The cops show up and they tried to help him, but you can't help him. And then all of a sudden, they had to arrest him. Because he wanted to fight them too. So he came to that specific gas station for that day and he wanted to fight.
Yeah.
What else do you need other than cops for that? I don't know, like, why do you need any other, why do you need any other thing for that? If someone shows up to a place and all they want to do is commit violence or steal or do anything, that, why do we need to replace police officers with anything?
Yeah. That's scary.
Just let the cops handle it.
Yeah. Or I should say that's scary. Yeah, well, you just said it. I mean, but yeah, I mean, if you're a civilian, it's certainly scary because it's like you're sitting there, you're just minding your own business.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you've got this mentally deranged lunatic out there kind of just running around and saying like, "Hey, I want to fight you." And it's like, no, what do you want from me?
I'm not interested in that.
I'm not interested in that. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it speaks to a much larger issue. We probably don't have time to talk about it, but definitely the mental health is a big factor in all of us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, in that regard. And that worries me greatly. The state of it has really been on the decline for a number of years, decades even, I would argue that point. And it needs decades to turn it around, you know, in that regard too. So it takes a lot of work. But I would say good on San Francisco. At the end of the day, they're righting the ship. They're seeing what's happening. It's unavoidable. It's unmistakable. You know, they can't deny it anymore. I remember that used to be, you know, that used to be floated out there in some circles saying like, "Oh, it's not as bad as people think it is." No, it was bad. Yeah. It was really bad out there. You know, you can't just poo-poo stuff like that either. You know, and I think that's, we have a tendency to do that. Because it's like, you know, you look at it, it's like, "Oh God, this is really, really horrible." Well, it's not all that bad. What are you talking about? I live over here. And it's not, you know.
Man.
No.
It's not bad. It's not mad at my dwelling, but I don't live anywhere near there.
Right. But it affects you ultimately. Down the road, it does. And, you know, it doesn't speak well of the society in general. If you're just going to brush it on the rug like it's no big deal, that dirt's still under the rug. It's not going away. You know, that
can I bring up
brushing it under the people brushing it under the rug are probably all living in Marin County anyway.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I bring up one last point?
Sure.
If I would have read in this article, if I would have read the Citizens Oversight Panel, if I would have read that as in like a coalition for mental health or a coalition for drug addicted Americans or something that made sense, instead of reading that and then looking into that and realizing they were just like, "Oh no, we'll handle it. Like, you cops can't be around here." Like, if you would have had government programs that actually worked.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's why I brought up the judges. The judges are the ones who are supposed to keep the cops in line by issuing warrants or not. I'm sure the citizens' oversight panels were populated with the lunatics who think the police can never do anything right at all.
Yes.
And so probably let this stuff get out of hand in the first place. That's just where I think they were coming from. And then lastly, the Proposition F, as I was clapping, I mean, we were talking about this last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about the government programs, our tax money going to people and then misusing it.
Yes.
This is one prime example. Obviously, San Francisco had public assistance. People were using it to fund drug habits instead of using it for housing or food or whatever they were asking for it for. And so thank God San Francisco is come around. It's like, oh yeah, you probably shouldn't be spending tax money on drugs. That, you know, just
legit.
you probably shouldn't be spending child support money on, you know, Gucci purses. You know,
Steve, you're talking nonsense at this point. What are you doing? The State of the Union?
That's right. Illinois Smith State of the Union. It's not going to be no frills. None of this crap that Joe Biden's pulling, man.
There you go.
But I'm with you, Matt. Yeah, good on San Francisco, but maybe you shouldn't have let it go down that far in the first place. Matt, I think that your solution for being bothered by the State of the Union address is just don't look. Just don't look. Don't watch the monsters. All right. Speaking of monsters, I like that transition.
Nice. Yeah.
All right. John's favorite boy is going to be implicated here, although he confesses maybe not as bad as he thought in pre-production.
Oh, no, he's still a douche. His level of douche does not go down here.
Yeah. No,
it's just my level of yelling at him is going to be less. I need to do better for my soul.
We are going to weigh the scales of justice here to see who is most at fault for what we're about to say here in topic two. Oh, remember that January 13th playoff game between the Chiefs and Dolphins where Andy Reid had mustache boogers frozen in time?
Come on, Andy.
It was minus 4 degrees and a minus 27 degrees with the wind chill, making it one of the coldest NFL games of all time. And apparently, according to SB Nation, 2 months after the game, some fans are still feeling the effects. Fox 4 in Kansas City reported a staggering 70% of people who had to seek medical assistance for frostbite due to the game are now facing the reality of amputation.
Ooh.
This includes one fan who removed his gloves for 5 minutes to put up a tent in the parking lot and is now in the process of discussing whether or not his fingers need to be amputated.
Oh my gosh.
Some people have been lucky to regain feeling in their extremities following the game after numerous treatments in hyperbaric oxygen chambers.
Wow.
Little Terrell Owens.
Dr. Megan Garcia, Grossman Burns Center medical director, told Fox 4 that even those lucky enough to escape amputation could face symptoms for the rest of their lives.
Wow.
It's still a lifelong process. They'll have sensitivity and pain for the rest of their lives and always will be more susceptible to frostbite in the future. All right, I'm going to lean back and let John go cook.
I have to yearly take training on this stuff, so I can say something.
Frostbite?
Yes, on frostbite, on heat exhaustion, on all that stuff. I have to take those training. It goes with my working outside thing.
Yeah.
So There is certain things. You might not have frostbite, but you do have sensitivity. There are certain parts of my hand, because I can't wear gloves all the time for what I do, that I do have a weakness or a thing. Like, it's weird. Like, hey, wait a minute, I used to feel that. That's so weird. But it's not prolonged and this. The NFL is amazing how they botched this so bad. We looked at the schedule. They could have moved this thing everywhere, and anywhere. They could have moved it to Saturday night. They could have moved it to Sunday. They could have moved it to Monday.
Oh, Matt, hold on, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, one second, John. I want to correct you on that. They did originally schedule it for Saturday night,
and then they did it Saturday day.
The only thing that they moved was the Pittsburgh Buffalo game. That was originally supposed to be scheduled on Sunday, but that got moved because of the blizzard that happened in Buffalo, and there was a whole shutdown in
the Buffalo area. So the game, the Kansas City Dolphins game, was scheduled
Saturday night on Saturday night,
and went on Saturday night,
and went on Saturday night. But to your point, they could have moved that game and should have moved that game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So they could have. They already moved a game that weekend.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of them having a conversation and be like, we've got shitty weather. Why can't we move? And I don't understand. We're just talking in the premise of the schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why can't they think outside the box? Why can't they move something up or move something back? Like, what is wrong with them that they put people in harm for no reason? Is it going to us being football fans? We don't watch as much as everybody else, but I ask the football fans that are dead set on watching this, is it really going to bother you if it's on a Tuesday night, not harming anybody? Like, is it really going to bother you? Does it really upset NBC or Peacock or any of this? Does it really upset anything other than the money that you could move something to a normal time?
I suspect it does. Saturday night in January, that's prime viewing time. So your sponsors, the people paying the money for the ads, are going to want that game to go on Saturday night. Yeah. You're not going to get the same crowd Tuesday night because people are working, et cetera. Saturday night is prime time to put an NFL game on.
Yep.
And so they're going to be pissed off. But, you know, guess what? It's probably more important that people, you know, don't lose limbs or fingers or toes. And I completely forgot that Patrick Mahomes had his helmet caved in that night.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Piece of his helmet broke off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this, John. I think the NFL is thinking outside the box. For instance, they put a stupid paywall on this game specifically. The guy that has been NFL MVP for the better part of the last couple of years, they put a paywall behind him, basically. So you had to pay an extra $5 on Peacock to watch the game. Now, here's the thing, though. They had all day Saturday afternoon. They could have flipped the game over, played it at noon. You had the sun out. At least it probably could have been at least 10 degrees.
The sun would help.
Sun would absolutely help.
Sun would have absolutely helped. And you would have moved the Houston game, which was that other playoff game. You could have had that on primetime if you had a common sense working brain. Unfortunately, the NFL doesn't have those things right now. And we have fans now that are suffering because of mental incompetency due to the NFL. I mean, that's really what is at the crux of all of this. I truly believe this. They should have moved that game earlier in the day, earlier. Put it at noon, put it at 1 o'clock. But they won't do that because it takes away from primetime viewing. And we have to make sure that we have the primetime views. It's Saturday afternoon.
Dumb.
You're going to have people watch it anyway. If you're on the West Coast, it's like 10:30 in the morning. I'll take that if I'm out there at 10:30 in the morning watching a football game. You got a triple header at that point.
Are they making up these numbers? I don't know anybody that is staying up that late. I'm sorry. I'm a working class human being. I don't know anybody that is staying up 9:30, 10:30. Like, oh man, I gotta watch this game unless it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Unless it's my team or the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well,
I didn't even watch the Super Bowl, so my team. And I don't even stay up for them.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I talk to a ton of working class people during the week. Nobody's like, oh man, I'm tired because I watched the Jacksonville Jaguars take on the Seattle Seahawks at midnight or the 9 o'clock. The only one I'll give them credit for is the very early Sunday morning when they go overseas. I like that one. I like getting up early and I like having something to watch when I'm up that early. So
sure.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But I did. They're running on a model from our childhood that those fans are, it's just diehard, and they're gonna go down with the ship. I don't think they know their fan base anymore.
I would agree. I would totally agree.
I think their fan base would bend and shake with them.
You're exactly right. The way they talk about it, if you watch like Good Morning Football, and I always throw Kyle Brandt under the bus, and I do it because he's an idiot. He was a shill. He was an absolute shill for the league, saying like, well, you know, the numbers here on Peacock were fantastic. And I said, it could have been free. You would have more money. You would have had more money watching people, you know, if you didn't put a stupid paywall in front. But again, it's a one-on-one conversation. You're not talking to him. He's not talking to you. He's just spouting his opinion, and it happens to be dead wrong. So,
yeah.
And how do we know for sure the numbers were that good?
Yeah.
Do we?
We don't, because we don't get to see them.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
If they did that on the NFL Network, if they did that on Monday morning instead of doing the stupid Monday morning quarterback and who screwed up or who did it, if you actually showed us the numbers, I don't think a lot of NFL fans would watch anymore if you actually saw that nobody cares.
And especially in this economy, guys, when you're like putting something behind
this economy,
a paywall.
This one?
This one.
In this country.
Yes, in this country. In this economy?
In this economy. I mean, it's the height of arrogance for you to do that as a league.
It is.
You know, I mean, you could broadcast on any one of the national any one of the national television channels that we have, but you instead put it behind a stupid paywall because you think that the millennials and the Gen Zers are all going to flock the Peacock to watch this.
Yeah, they think you're a fool. Yeah. I said to my wife the other day, talking about this article, I was like, I'm so glad that the Eagles won the Super Bowl because I don't have to care. Oh. I don't have to care anymore. That was the only reason I actually cared, I wanted to see them win the Super Bowl. Once they won, I like Jalen Hurts and all, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not as invested as I was prior to that. So this BS does not affect me in any way.
I think we're all in agreement that the NFL absolutely should have moved this game. They moved the Buffalo-Pittsburgh game.
Yep.
Which Buffalo got, 2 feet of snow weekend? So they absolutely had to move that.
Yep.
So obviously they can move a game when they need to, when it's a problem. However, I do want to get into who else may be to blame here. Because these fans went to the game. Nobody held a gun to your head.
Nope.
And you weren't, what I would say, prepared.
You knew how cold it was going to be. Right?
Absolutely.
You should have known how cold it was going to be, for God's sake, too.
I mean, John was talking about in pre-production the hyper masculinity or whatever the term was you wanted to use. Dudes like taking their shirt off in the stands because it's so manly to be out in the cold. Oh, now you're going to lose your arm because of it, pal. Yeah. Was it really worth it? If I was going to that game and I would have had serious reservations at those temperatures.
Yeah.
I would have been wearing probably 4 shirts.
Yep.
2 jackets.
Yep.
I would have had 2 scarves wrapped around my face. I would have had chemical resistant goggles.
Yeah.
Over my eyes. I would have had 3 pairs of long johns and sweatpants, probably under snow pants.
Yeah.
And 5 pairs of socks on. I wouldn't have been taking any chances.
I can't even imagine, and Arrowhead is a tall stadium, basically. I can't even imagine the people that were in the upper decks of that stadium feeling the blunt force of that cold wind. Because remember, it was -4. You had a 25-mile-an-hour wind blowing through that stadium, making it the temperatures going down to -27 or 30. Yep. And you're in the upper decks of that stadium. No, thank you.
And for people not watching, we know Veteran Stadium when the wind... Yes. When the wind goes in, it doesn't come out.
Steve, right? You remember the one time
it doesn't come out.
Steve and I went to a Temple Boston College game.
Oh.
And we were on the lower decks, John, of Veterans Day, and the wind was swirling, and it was in November. It was one of those rare cold November games at the Vet, and we felt so cold down there. I mean, we had hot chocolate, and the hot chocolate didn't even work. It was that cold.
It wasn't even close to these temperatures either. It was probably just around the freezing mark.
Yeah. That times 3, Steve, really. Just remember, that's how it would feel.
Yeah. Just remember the swells there. Like, it was cold even when it was not really cold.
Yes.
In those dome type stadiums. Not that it's the exact dome, but Arrowhead has a very similar.
Yeah. It radiates.
Yeah. The wind just stays in there.
And, you know, going to Lincoln Financial Field or Citizens Bank Park, even in the summertime, once the sun goes down, you're on the river. The wind starts whipping off the river.
Yeah.
It gets chilly up there.
It gets feeling. Oh, yeah. You feel it. Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Yeah. And this is the middle of summer. And you start, you know, getting some chills.
It's like, where's the, it's, where's my jacket all of a sudden?
Yeah.
It's like 80 degrees outside.
So I understand blaming Goodell and the NFL for not moving the game, but these people also have to realize at a certain point, it may not be worth it to either go to the game, or if you're going to the game, to dress like you think you would at a normal game.
Right.
I can relay a story. One time, back when I had Flyers tickets, there was a game one night. It was snowing that day. I was on the fence. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to go or not. I had to go pick up my daughter from preschool, and it was a mess driving 5 minutes to the preschool.
Sure.
On my way back, I'm going down a hill. Coming up the hill the other way is a pickup truck.
Oh,
which, no lie, is angled at 45 degrees on the street as he is making his way up the hill. That is the point where I realized, you know what? I don't think I'm going to the game tonight.
I'm not going to the game tonight.
So I called somebody who I knew was already in the city and could just take public transportation. I gave them my tickets. They went and had a fun time.
Yeah.
I'm not going like in those conditions.
Absolutely not.
These people have to realize, okay, yeah, I might look real manly with my shirt off while Andy Reid's got his frozen boogers out, but that's...
Which was the worst look ever by a coach.
Yeah, exactly.
And look at how many Super Bowls you have. You had snot on your face and you didn't wipe it off.
But another issue, and I think Matt brought this up in pre-production too, is I am absolutely certain that probably of this 70% of people, probably 50% of them were three sheets to the wind during the game.
Probably.
And weren't thinking clearly. That doesn't help either. So people out there, you need to do better. And you can start by visiting our website, Two Noobs Talking. That's TONOOBS talking.wordpress.com. And there you can see all types of videos. You can read about the hosts. You can watch episodes all the way back to 140. And it's got a link to the YouTube channel if you want to go back even further than that to look at our ugly mugs back when we were on Zoom.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. And for those of you who don't like to listen to us because you think we're all too ugly, or like to watch us because you think we're too ugly, you can listen to us on any podcast network you like. They're all there. If they're not, you listen to a weird thing. But you can take our RSS feed, plug it into your podcatcher, and then get it on your goofy audio program.
And if you can't find us, just email us at twodudestalking@gmail.com, and we will point you in the right direction of a podcast catcher that isn't dumb.
Because we're out there, people. You can find us. Believe me, I've tried. It's possible.
We're still Googleable. Still.
That's correct.
Awesome. I love it.
That's correct. And while you're on one of these places, please like, share, subscribe, do whatever it takes to, you know, show your love, because we love you people.
Comment.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We want to hear from you. We want to engage, you know? We want to have a discussion.
Absolutely.
I mean, John took his Eagles flag down for a reason.
I mean, I want to yell at you. So if you just want to be yelled at, just gmail.com. I'll just yell at you. It'll be fun.
You know, it's funny. I haven't had anybody say, hey, that Philadelphia Stars pennant back there. You ought to take that down. That's back in the 1980s. What the hell?
It's offensive to me. I don't know why it's still up there.
I'm a terrible American. I mean, I the internet has told me it's fine. Amazon. Oh, just so I can let you guys know, Amazon has delivered the shelves.
Nice.
I'm still waiting on the final two pieces. But I will start putting them up after this episode, right after, because I'm a slave and I will do for you guys more than myself.
I love it.
Nice.
We'll get it done.
Can't wait.
I mean, I've got a very full set here, and you're blank walls.
Yep. I really want to buy you a Godzilla Funko Pop. Just put it over your head, but I haven't found
one. I've got one over there, but yeah.
There you go.
But John, don't worry about being a terrible American, because in this country, that allows you to run for president, because we've got two of them running right now.
In this country, right?
In this country.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I mean, most of the primary, they all aren't that decent.
No,
but somehow we still ended up with these two at a combined age of 843.
If they fight in an in an MMA ring.
Oh my gosh,
I would enjoy that. So why can't we get that? Come on, Dana White, let's get that for September. Yeah. Get me juiced up for November. If I'm going to vote, I want to see old people swinging each other.
You know what's funny is my son asked me that very question earlier today. He said, who would win in a, you know, if it was a fight between Joe Biden and Donald Trump? I'm like, you know, that would be great because I think both of them would die of exhaustion.
Yeah, Trump's got the weight, so if he sits on him.
Right. Right.
But Biden's got that scrappy idiot Delaware kind of concept that he can fight anybody. So if he's doing this for a couple of minutes, he might get slugged in the face and just knocked out.
Well, so, the thing is, he'll be looking the wrong way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but also interference. Who likes? You got to look at the Congress. Who likes who? Well, because there might be some outside interference. It might be some WWE bloodline stuff where they're trying to keep the title. So you don't know.
Kamala Harris
you don't know.
Coming out of
yeah,
nowhere.
You don't know. She could have. And then
with her word salad, you'll just like spit it to death. That we're all like bored out of our minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is just getting worse and worse.
Yeah, they don't have people behind them that are very intelligent. So,
no,
I mean,
no. I was gonna say maybe our only hope for this election is decent vice presidential candidates, but I don't think that's gonna happen.
Illinois Smith.
2024.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly.
Well, it is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here. Vote. Yep. You know, I'm gonna be chilling for the next 10 months.
Yeah, vote for that guy in the middle.
Put me in the White House.
Right over there. Vote him right there.
That's right.
He's a good dude.
That's right.
All right.
Was that over? Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
I could run a country, but I can't tell which side is who.
Yes. Apparently, neither could the Founding Fathers, and they just let it. They just sent it. They were like, this is good shit. And just sent it. We're here. We're here.
Might as well. Yeah.
We're here. They did a good
All
job.
Right. Well, we digress. We get to topic three here. We got a twofer. Unfortunate news in both instances. We'll start with Chris Mortensen, longtime ESPN NFL reporter, passed away last Sunday. And at the age of 72, we all fondly remember Mort as he would appear on the Sunday, whatever they called it on ESPN. Countdown.
Sunday NFL countdown or something like that?
Countdown, yeah. With the breaking news of the day. Good journalist, contrary to what ESPN employs these days.
Yes.
I'll turn the road over to Matt to say a few words on behalf of Chris Mortensen.
Yeah, loved him. I thought he was probably the best NFL insider when he was on with Berman at Sunday NFL Countdown when I saw him. And also during the week, I thought he was just on point. There was no speculation that I could ever see out of him. I see a lot of it with Adam Schefter. I see a lot of it with Rappaport and everybody else. It seems like they seem to have lost their edge, and it's like Mort was really the first one that really was like on point, did his homework, and presented in a way that was really engaging and everything. So I give him a lot of credit for that. So Mort,
he was trustworthy.
Yes. Very trustworthy. Yes. Very trustworthy.
It's a rare thing these days in the media.
Yeah.
John, anything to say for Mort?
I thought about this for a while, and I think the best thing that I can say about him is when the internet age, because we were not a part of the internet age in our early years.
Whatever did we do back then?
Yes, exactly.
We talked to each other.
One of my when Twitter came about, one of my first searches to follow on Twitter was Chris Mortensen. Why not?
Yeah.
Like, why not follow the GOAT? Why not follow the guy that it hasn't lied to me yet? Like, that was, and he was the first, he created the bullshit job, which I'm sure he's happy about this. The bullshit job of the insider. He was just a reporter that ran into TV and did a hell of a job, well spoken, and did everything right. But he created the model of the insider. Whatever that is. Like, we're inside. The Howard Eskin bullshit. Oh, I know everybody inside. Yeah, because you're kissing ass and eating all the fucking donuts. That's why you know everybody. You're hanging out too long. Yep. But he was the legitimate insider. He was the one that got the scoop that no one else could get. And that's why ESPN hired him. It wasn't a fake tag and a, you know, I'm a journalist Hall of Famer. Like, he wasn't running that game. He right. just did his job and he did it great. And that's why yep. he should be, if he's not in the Hall of Fame, he definitely should be in the Sports Writer Hall of Fame. He should definitely be in the NFL Hall of Fame. He should be in yeah. every Hall of Fame of his, because he was that good.
Yep.
Absolutely. So we've lost one of the good ones, sadly.
Yeah.
And more close to home, we also lost one of the good ones here to retirement, as Jason Kelce, Hall of Fame future center for the Philadelphia Eagles, announced that he would no longer be playing football, which is comes as a sad day to us Birds fans. Watching him as one of the best centers of all time, doing things that you'd have announcers like, my God, what is the center doing running 20 yards downfield, blocking yeah. people?
Yeah.
And he went out with an epic speech, nowhere near as good as the one he gave at the Super Bowl parade. but 40 minutes of his own kind of history and thanking everyone who contributed to his career. We thank all of them as well, because they gave us Jason Kelce.
Absolutely.
The version we got to see. So I'll go to John first for his thoughts on Mr. Kelce and his retirement.
I've never been so sad for a player to retire from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Utley, Howard, Rollins.
Dawkins, maybe.
Dawkins.
Yeah. Well, he didn't retire from Philadelphia.
No, he didn't retire from, but when he retired, like, the guys that were, it's so weird. I didn't think I'd be as emotional as I was. I watched that whole damn thing. Like, yeah. the whole thing I watched. I didn't think I'd be as emotional. I think the best thing that was said the whole weekend after he retired is what his wife said. Is that he earned every emotion, every goodwill, everything that has come to him, he earned.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, 100%, I think, what, no matter what you think about his, like, antics with his brother or anything, the podcast is pretty cool. I do catch their clips. Like, they are funny together. They're brothers. They're 2 years apart. They're, like, they're two peas in a pod. But a lot of people try to put light on him that Jason is some glory hog or whatever. He's not at all. Like,
not even
what
close.
A hard working dude. He's earned every aspect. And I think he's in the Hall of Fame. I ran him up against some of the best centers ever, just number wise in not the bullshit NFL. We're not going to NFL.com now. I ran the stats they were keeping beforehand in 85 when, you know, they actually judged them for doing their job. And he progressed that position to a different place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he sure did.
Yep. Matt.
Yeah. No, yeah, right there with you, John. I think for me, I think the fact that he earned his way from, you know, he was almost being cut. He was very close to getting out of here in Philly, and yet he runs across Jeff Stoutland, who changed his entire career and made him, it's not if he's the greatest. He is the greatest center of Philadelphia Eagles history, period.
Yep. Yep.
I couldn't name one other center in the history of that franchise that has been close to being around here for almost 100 years. He's their best center, period. And leader on the field, leader off the field. And I love the fact, you know, from a personal standpoint, the way he loved his wife and his daughters. May that be forever multiplied in our society. I think the way he treats his wife speaks a large volume about who he is as a man. And the fact that he's a leader with men as well, pals around with them, but also knows how to get the job done. He's going to be a huge loss for the team, but and, you know, big shoes to fill for Cam Jurgens for sure for the upcoming year. But man, what a career. What a career. What a man. What a great dude. Love him. Love him to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that really the retirement speech amplified was how authentic he is as an individual.
Amen.
You don't get the phony baloney stuff that you get with a lot of the athletes, particularly yeah. these days. I forget which one of you said it. You think he is a glory hound or one of these chest thumpers. Yeah, he's got the podcast, but I mean, he does that for the same reason we do this, because it's fun.
Yeah,
exactly.
We have a good time. He likes to talk with his brother. I like talking with you guys.
Ditto.
He's an authentic person, and I had it on. I wasn't watching. I was trying to work simultaneously, so I didn't get to see it. But it was tough to listen to because he kept having to stop to hold back the emotions. That was rough.
Yeah.
And I think it's just part of showing you what an authentic human being he is. Yeah. You know. On top of being the greatest center in Philadelphia Eagles history.
No cliches with him whatsoever. There was no sports cliches at all. It was 100% authentic Jason. And that's great. That's what we need.
I dare someone that feels like they're successful to sit down and talk about their 13 years or 14 years, whatever it may be, and not be choked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be. Yeah. If you're an authentic person, you're thinking about the people that gave you a shot. You're thinking about the people that trusted you. You're thinking about the downtimes. You're thinking about the good times. You're thinking about all these things. And people are flooding into your brain because the way life is, people take chances on people that you might not think you're worthy, but someone might take a chance on you. And then you achieve something that you didn't even dream. And that's it's crazy. Like, that's what the authenticity is. And Philly gets that with athletes. And there's not many in that town in my whole life that are as authentic as him. Like, there's no bullshit radar that went off that entire time. It was very hard to, Steve, you're absolutely right. It was very hard to watch. I don't want to cry, and I don't want to watch a grown man cry. It's hard. I don't want to do that. That's not what I want to do on a Tuesday afternoon. That's not my that's not my thing.
Right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that struck me was, after it was over, he then went and hugged every single person in that room.
He sure did.
Including the bogus reporters who
they're completely full of shit and didn't like him at all.
Right, exactly. So that was not only is he a Hall of Fame player, he's a Hall of Fame human being.
No doubt.
Yes.
Okay, as we get into topic 4, I get to take a break, and I'm going to turn it over to John, because as I've been saying for a week now, he's got questions and he wants them answered immediately.
If not sooner.
If not sooner than immediately. We have to read his mind.
Wow.
It's not that serious. I like to play with Matt and Steve and not tell them anything, because it's just fun for me.
Part of chaos.
We don't need the plan, so we're fine.
Turn it over to Jump Ball John Tracy.
There you go.
I want to start with this question. Both of you need to answer this, and then I will pick people and shoot questions at you guys, and you will answer them.
Okay.
Do your best.
You will
ability.
Answer.
Yes.
You will answer. I like how I put that.
No, or not. You can pass.
Pass.
So my first question, and I came up with this because of the Jason Kelce retirement and the poster right next, or the puzzle next to me. I came up with this question, and I wanted to know your answer because I have an answer, and it starts with this. So you had the 08 Phillies championship, which was one of the greatest runs of, you know, Philly history.
Yep.
And you had the Eagles when they won the Super Bowl.
Also great.
Would you guys give that up to see a Flyers run, past or future, hoisting a cup?
That has always been a lifelong dream. I don't know what I would do when the clock would hit zero. Flyers win, let's just say 4-2 in the Stanley Cup final. I don't know what I would do. I seriously would probably be jumping up and down, running around, probably crying, you know, and just for them, especially when they lift the cup over the shoulder, that would just, I would, that memory would be imprinted on my mind, where I was, what I was doing, all that kind of stuff. This is where I was doing on X time when I saw this happen. I don't know what I would do, John. I don't know if I would trade it, though, for, because the 08 Phillies was magical. That was
absolutely
first time since 1980. Yes, 1980.
Yeah.
That was 28 years. And that, I mean, we all grew up around 80s and 90s. It was kind of like you were kind of good, but not.
93 was the only happy year.
Yeah, 93 was the only happy year of that franchise. And yet they find the right formula, they get the right players, they draft them, they gum through the system, and they win. And it's like, I remember one person at work saying to me, you know, we should have really played Boston. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, they beat Tampa. What are they supposed to do? Like, right. Hope and pray that they beat the Reds? Like, come on. You know, Tampa got there. We beat them. That's exactly all you can ask for.
Yep.
You know, that kind of a deal. So I wouldn't trade. No, I think the long answer to the question. I'm sorry for talking so long.
No,
them,
no, that's awesome. What I was hoping for this question.
I don't know what
question.
I would do. It would be the greatest day of my life, probably, outside of getting married, you know, down the road. But, yeah, for sure.
I'm with Matt that the Flyers winning a Stanley Cup would be just the most wonderful sporting event in my entire life. That being said, I would not trade either the Phillies or the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles, the Phillies one was magic. The Eagles one, I got to celebrate with my parents and my Same. Kids all together. And I'll never forget when the ball dropped in the end zone and we all looked at each other like, did this just happen? Is it over? Did this just happen?
Yeah.
Did we just win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Like, not knowing what to do and then freaking out because we knew it had come true.
Yeah.
I would not give that up.
Had the whole family here in my house, and it was magical. That night was unbelievable. We had a parents' birthday party. My mom celebrated her birthday, and it was the greatest birthday present that organization ever gave my mother. Winning that title a few days before her birthday. It was wonderful.
So as much as I love the Flyers as my number one team in town, I wouldn't trade championships from the other teams to get it. I would rather the Flyers earn it the right way.
Yeah.
Which, fingers crossed, we're on the path.
We're on the
same
path.
Way. Yeah. And I hope they do. I hope they do. That would be very, very cool. I would not give that up either.
I certainly wouldn't want to sell my soul like the Vegas Golden Knights do.
That's what I'm saying. That was kind of the, you know, where it was coming from.
There
so
you
let's
go.
Start with you, Mr. Merry. Where were you on the night of? No.
I was here, and I have no witnesses to back that up.
Exactly. So now there we're just going to go. Now we're just going to random. Okay.
All right.
So, random. Mr. Merry, coolest place you've ever been.
Coolest place I've ever been.
Yes.
Just off the top of my head, I'll say Niagara Falls.
Oh, nice.
Very cool. Very cool.
It was very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Especially the American side, we got to go on the hurricane deck. So you're like on a deck with the falls splashing on you. Like, that was pretty neat.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat. I've been to lots of cool places. I've been to Japan. I've been out in like Yosemite. I've been places all on the East Coast, but Niagara Falls was probably the coolest.
That's nice. Awesome. That's good.
Matt.
Same question?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
One Philly player, past or present, that you could sit down and have dinner with, who would it be?
Brian Dawkins, 100%.
Wait. Philly with a Y or Philly, Philly?
No, not Phil. Not Phillies. Like the
okay, all right.
Philly player. Anybody okay. that is
Brian Dawkins, 100%.
Donned a uniform.
Yeah, Brian Dawkins, 100%. There is something about that guy that I would want to talk, not just his football career, but his faith. As you guys know, I'm pretty big in the church, and he is as well. I would love to hear his testimony, how he came to faith, what we would talk about, sharing our faith together. I think that would be amazing.
Hollywood would unleash the beast on Sunday afternoon.
Hollywood do that.
How did you turn into a nutcase?
Right? Like, how do you
being a God-fearing man? How'd you do that?
What was it that did that caused you to do it? It's just like that. I mean, that Wolverine side of him was unreal. And it was just like you run through a brick wall with that guy seeing all that, those antics. Yep. Crazy.
I always joke around with this. Brian Dawkins is the only human being on the face of the earth that I'd rather be in a fist fight with or go to church with at the same time. Like, he meets both criteria.
Have seen him in person, had a signed football at the time, and my God, that guy had muscles and places where muscles shouldn't have even existed. He was so strong and built. I mean, it was unbelievable that guy was a brick house of missile. Of muscle, I should say, not missile, but you know what I mean. So there you go.
All right. Mr. Merritt.
Yes.
DC Comics. Eliminate Batman, who is the number one character.
Wow.
I'm not a big comics guy, so...
Okay.
Movie-wise.
Movie-wise. Yeah. All right, so Batman's gone. I could pick anyone else from the DC universe.
Any DC universe character ever. Batman's gone.
I'm taking Superman.
Okay.
Nice. I wanted to eliminate him, too, but...
Well, after that, it gets dicey.
It does.
I loved Snyder's universe. Man of Steel was one of my favorite superhero movies of all time. And when they resurrected Superman in Snyder Cut Justice League, you realize why you don't really need a Justice League.
You got Superman.
Because Superman.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, if Batman's gone, Superman takes on all comers.
There you go.
As long as nobody's from Krypton, you're good.
True. All right, nice. We'll stay comic book. Matt. Best Marvel movie of all time.
Man. The Avengers, the first one. Yeah, I've seen them. I have a few Blu-rays of them. The Avengers, when it's the first one, that sets the whole thing in motion. The way the orchestration, I thought in that entire movie was fantastic from a musical standpoint. And you got everybody coming together. Iron Man and Captain America and the Hulk and Hawkeye and Black Widow. It's just a great setting of the whole thing in motion. I've watched that movie dozens of times, The Avengers, and just absolutely love it. So everything else from there, though, kind of goes downhill, except for Endgame and, you know, other thing else like that. But
you're not a She-Hulk fan?
And then it gets absolutely worse. What's that?
You're not a She-Hulk fan?
I'm not a She-Hulk fan. That's a hard pass. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that would have been an easy question for me because I would just say Iron Man because it's really
It's the only one.
Yeah, exactly.
Two wonderful human beings in my life tried to put me through the Marvel thing. I got through Iron Man 1 and 2. I've seen other ones, but I was like, I understand what you mean, but that one was...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to, since they're all scribbled out here of my ADHD here. Steve, what's the biggest pet peeve while you're in traffic?
Biggest pet peeve while I'm in traffic.
You're stuck. I mean, you're on I-95. You're trying to go into the city. Nobody's moving. What gets your gazoobles up?
Okay. Where you're... This is what pisses me off the most in those circumstances. When you have you're cutting down lanes, okay? So you're going whatever 3 to 2, let's say, and it's backed up for miles, and there's people who will zip up and try to. I'm gonna get in front of you because I was smart enough to go in the empty lane as far as I could go. It's like, no, dude. So in those circumstances, if somebody tries to do that to me, I will latch my bumper onto the car in front of me.
Nice.
Like, you are not getting in between us. It is not happening, pal.
I'll do you one better. What I do is I go onto a little bit onto the shoulder so they can't go around.
Nice.
But I see, I have to see it coming. You know, that kind of a deal.
Well, it's obviously.
It's like I just tripped over just a little bit.
Yeah. So. It's like everyone else has been patient enough to wait. Why do you get to be special and zip up ahead of everybody
Absolutely.
Else?
Yeah.
And that's, it's especially a problem when you're doing like an exit.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got, going to the shore is probably the best example. You know, you're getting off the Atlantic City Expressway at exit 7. And you got two rows of cars all piled up and somebody who's trying to continue on the Atlantic City Expressway and then cut in right at the exit.
Yep.
It's like, no.
That contributes to the bottleneck, you idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Screw
this
you.
That's what causes traffic, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Happens all the time at 422 and, you know, coming off of 202. It's awful. It's just awful. Just backs everybody up. It's terrible. Yeah. All right, John. What else
you got? All right, Matt. Let's go here. Let's pick. I'm trying. It's scribbled, so I'm trying to
loading.
Let's go with. So Matt, when you were a wee lad,
yes.
When you did your homework and all that, when you were a wee lad, yes, or not? I don't know. I'm not judging.
No, I never did. I hated it.
What was your favorite childhood drink? Like, what was your go to? Like, when you did good and like your mom was like, you can have anything you want. Like, what was your like go-to soda drink?
Wow.
I'm going to peg him as either a Yoo-Hoo or a Sunny D man. Or
Sunny
the purple
D.
stuff.
Sunny D.
There you go.
It was Sunny D. I had a Sunny D light run there for a while.
Good.
I had a Kool-Aid run for a while.
Ooh, Kool-Aid.
Well, back then it was pretty good. Still is, yes. Nowadays, not so much. But I mean,
I don't think it's changed. I think we just get taste.
Yes, it's not screw like you're supposed
That's
to.
True. I did have a Sunny. I did have a Capri Sun run as well, but I could
what,
never
what
get
was
that
your,
straw.
What was your go-to though? Like that made you happy? We're talking child. We're not talking old.
I would say Coca-Cola. That was the soda for me. I was never a big Pepsi guy, but it's like whenever I would go out to like, let's just say like we went to Pizza Hut, Coke was the one I went to like 100% of the time and loved it. And if it was something like where I'm like riding around like Orland, you know, on the bike or whatever, I would stop off at like the local marketplace that was there. They had a vending machine outside. Coke was there, throw a couple of quarters in there, bam, happy as I could be with a Coca-Cola. So that was my go-to.
Nice.
I would say out of all of them, yeah.
So the drink that made me happy when I was a kid was the Hi-C Ecto Cooler.
See?
Oh, good. So good.
That's another one.
That was a rare thing to have, and when we had it, it was so awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. You treasure that moment, man.
Yes. Slimer.
So let's go back to sports with Steve. Never, the player never played in Philly. Who is the player that you admired the most?
Wow.
He never put a jersey on in Philly at all. Outside.
I guess I'll go Steve Young just because I fawn over that dude.
Yeah.
There you go.
He drafted, what, 5 or 6 consecutive years in
a row? It was four years in a row.
Okay.
Question I ask is, would you go Jaromir Jagr if he didn't play for us?
Ooh.
Well, see, that's the thing. He did play
he did.
For us.
That's what I'm saying.
He was eliminated. He probably would have been the one had he not played here, just because
he single-handedly saved Pittsburgh from losing that franchise.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, I agree.
It sucks because it's like we had Sidney
Steve
Crosby,
Young also saved San Francisco from being completely terrible.
Right.
Yeah. Gave another championship. Yeah.
See what Steve likes. Steve likes people that get shit done. That's what Steve likes.
Steve Young is another awesome just human being.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I got 2 left here.
Okay.
I'm going to go to Matt. What is your guilty pleasure, the food that you know you shouldn't have, but you sneak every once in a while?
Oh, are you kidding me? You guys know this.
Oh, this will be good.
Wheat Thins. I will inhale a box of Wheat Thins. Like, nice. I will postpone
They
dinner.
Are good. They are good.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, I can't control myself with those things. I love them to death. They're fantastic. They're better than the Triscuits are not bad because they're bigger. You know, you can put shit on it.
The Wheat Thins are better, though. You were talking pure flavor. Wheat Thins are better.
Oh, Oh my gosh. It was like the go-to snack whenever Steve and I would play hockey with our good buddy Eddie and a few of his brothers. We would go to the Wawa, remember, in Abington.
I remember.
And that was Gatorade Wheat Thins. That was it. That's all I needed. I was perfectly fine with that. And it was fantastic. But yeah, that was my go-to. That's like my guilty pleasure. You cannot put that in front of me without like losing that box within like 15 minutes.
I'm picturing Matt as Nintendo Kirby.
There you go. Like,
just inhaling it all in.
Inhaling it all
in. Love that. Yeah.
Last one. We'll finish with you, Steve.
Alrighty.
What is your go-to song?
Oh. Ooh, go-to song. What circumstance?
It doesn't matter. When that song that you go to no matter what. Like that one that just hits you right there. I mean, I have one that you just, you're always listening to it. Like it's not every day, but it's like you always go to it in a time that you need it, whatever. It's like your go-to song.
There you go.
Why don't you tell us what yours is while I think of that?
So, absolutely. So I travel a lot, so I miss my wife a lot. So Prince's song, Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor, I believe covered it, and then Chris Cornell covered it. It's my go-to song when I want to feel something.
There you go.
It's Chris Cornell doing it acoustically because it reminds me of my wife and it reminds me of like the sacrifices that we have and when I travel and stuff like that. And when I miss her terribly, I always kind of go back to it. I think it's my favorite song of all time. Like it's a cover, of course. Like the Prince's version is so much better, but it's the song that gets me.
I would say the answer to that question gives Steve a little bit more time to think.
Yes, take your time, Steve.
Mine would be Duck and Run by Three Doors Down. That, to me, that guitar riff.
Great song, by the way. That's
underrated song. Just gets me in the mood as well. Let's go. You know, it's like if I'm having a bad day at work, I'll throw that on and it's like, let's go. You know, it's like
that's a good song.
Pedal to the metal. You know, it's like it picks me right up.
Big Three Doors Down fan. Three Doors. Love it.
Very underrated band back in the day. And I just, you know, hockey game, you know, someone tells me I can't do crap. Oh yeah. Well, I'll just throw that song on. And it's like,
nice.
Bring it.
Right.
Just bring it, man. You know, that kind of a deal. So,
all right. See, what do you got?
All right. I'm prepared to answer now. I've considered it. This song, I feel like I'm always humming it. I'm singing it in the shower of just everywhere I go. Whenever it comes on, I have to drop what I'm doing. It's Heaven and Hell from Black Sabbath.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
That is a great
song to me is probably the greatest song ever.
I think so.
The opening riff, I find myself humming it all the time. And every time I pick up my guitar, that's like one of the first things I play after I've got it tuned properly. It's you can't get away from it.
Nice.
Love it.
What a song.
Good stuff.
I know I've said this before, I'll die on this hill. The catalog of songs under Ozzy for Black Sabbath is more robust, but Dio was the better performer.
Oh, there you go.
I can't argue that. I want to. I do want to argue that. Like, we've had this conversation. Yeah, we've had this conversation a million times. I'll leave you guys with that. I want to argue that with you, Steve, every day of my life. But you're right. That's the history.
I love it.
All right. All right, so there you have it. That wraps up episode 180 of Two Dudes Talking. Stay tuned next week. I'm going to flip it on the head, and these two guys are going to have to answer some brain teaser type riddle questions.
Nice.
There you go.
See how smart these gentlemen really are.
We're not.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck?
Yes.
If a woodchuck worked at Walmart? No.
No.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh, that's funny.
Got confused.
All right, well, as always, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you all next week. Until then, get out.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Two Noobs Talking. For more Two Noobs, be sure to check out our website, twonoobstalking.wordpress.com, and we'll see you next week.